technically it's the second week for college football. They call last week week zero. There were a handful of games. This is the first big weekend of college football coming up, and obviously games here in the state of Utah and beyond. It's also the second official week for The Athletic. It went live a week or so ago, theathletic.com. College football, college basketball, professional sports. Certain cities have their own athletic venues now. And our next guest, we've known him a long time. We know him going back to Sports Illustrated and then Fox Sports. And now he's the editor-in-chief and big contributor at the All-American at The Athletic, the college football side of things, Stuart Mandel. Hey, Stuart.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
I'm good and proud to say a subscribing member to The Athletic. So
awesome.
There you go.
Awesome. Thank you for subscribing. And it's been an exciting week. The site launched first thing Monday morning, actually 1:30 in the morning on Monday morning. And the response so far has been good. It's theathletic.com/All-American. We hope people will come check it out. There are some stories today that are free that people can preview. We hope you'll sign up for the subscription.
Yep, $3.99 for the year. I'm just going to give the plug here. $3.99 for the year or $7.99 a month. Give it a look. See what you like. See what you don't like. It's a growing site too. So what you see today in 2 or 3 months, I'm guessing, Stuart, will be growing, evolving, and changing. Correct?
Sure. I mean, The Athletic has been growing rapidly, adding more and more local markets, and that $3.99 a month doesn't just get you our site. It gets you Seth Davis's college basketball site when it launches next month. It gets you Ken Rosenthal for baseball, Bay Area sports, soon Philadelphia sports, and so on. So I think it's a great deal, and a lot of people have signed up already. So I think we're finding there's an appetite for a lot of strong written content about college football. No ads, no videos, just the stories.
No pivoting either right now?
No pivoting to video. Definitely not going to happen.
Lots of good content. It's all up at The Athletic. Stuart's got his bowl. You got your bowl projections up today, right?
I do. Fun to be back doing that again. It's always been one of the more popular things I've written. The preseason one is obviously a bit of a guess, but it gives you a bit of a guess. It's entirely a guess, but it gives you a sense of kind of where I think the pecking order is going this season.
Interesting. You've got Utah at least projected to a bowl they've not played in yet, and that's the Holiday Bowl against your alma mater, Northwestern, in late December. So clearly you think Utah's got a good shot at having a pretty good season this year.
I do. And, of course, there's always a ripple effect. And so in those projections, I have three Pac-12 teams going up to the New Year's Six in Washington, which is one of my playoff teams, seeing Stanford getting a large bid. So, you know, that allows Utah and everybody else from the Pac-12 that's bowl eligible to move up a spot. But I think, and I think I told you this last time I was on here, I think those three that I mentioned are the elite teams in the Pac-12 this year. But Utah is the first one that comes to mind when I start talking about that next tier. And, of course, that doesn't mean that they can't themselves rise up and contend for the conference title.
And the good news, by the way, of schedule, good and bad news, they play all three of those teams, only one of the two at home, or one of the three at home. But, you know, if you want to crack that top three or be in that elite group, you beat them head-to-head, and you've got that chance to do it. They get Stanford at home, but they've got to go play SC and Washington on the road.
Right. It's, you know, and I think that those are the games that will obviously determine it. I also think that in that division, in the Pac-12 South, I think one of UCLA, Arizona State will rise up and be better than people are expecting. But right now, you know, there isn't much reason to be excited about the Arizona schools. I think Colorado will take a step back. I'm not saying they'll go back to Colorado of 2 or 3 years ago by any means, but replacing all of those seniors and, of course, losing Jim Leavitt, I don't think they'll be rising up and winning 10 games like they did last season. So beyond USC, obviously, you know, a very manageable division.
Not to cause too much of a social media stir here, but as I looked at your projections, I didn't see BYU in your bowl projections.
No, you know, I guess I'm predicting a bit of a rough season. I don't know what to make out of that opener. You know, I think people overreact to those openers, so I'm not going to read too much into it. But, you know, they'll probably make me end up looking dumb, but the good news is I get to update these every week.
That's true, and I, you know, of course, I've got a target on my back in this state because I'm the voice of the Ute, so BYU fans automatically assume I have a bias. I watched that game, and Kalani Sitake is a friend of mine But the thing, and I'm like you, I don't put too much stock into openers, but some things that you see, the one thing that jumped out at me was they didn't look very fast or athletic offensively against a pretty low-end 1AA team at home. So that,
right.
that to me, that was the troublesome part. You know, you can play badly, turn it over, not be in sync, commit penalties. But the one thing that's really not going to change over the course of a year is your speed and athleticism, and they just looked really slow on offense.
And I think that's true. But I also, you know, if against a team like that, you should be able to dominate the line of scrimmage and
that too,
and at least run the ball down their throats. And it didn't feel like that at times.
We'll bring it back around to Utah here in a minute, some other stuff. But BYU was part of kind of a national discussion the last couple of days because they're playing LSU. And they were supposed to be playing in that Advocare opening game in Houston. And obviously we know that's not going to happen. The devastation there is unbelievable. So it took them a little while. They're going to play that game at the Superdome. A little bit of an outrage among BYU fans. But at the end of the day, you're still playing LSU. There was going to be a lot of LSU fans if the game was in Houston. Do you think playing that game at the Superdome has any real impact on the game and what the outcome will be?
Good question. I don't think it changes much for BYU because they're already planning to get on a plane and
right.
and go play this game. And frankly, you know, I mean, I guess Superdome, depending on how quickly LSU fans respond, I mean, theoretically, this could be a home game. It could be a lot more hostile, obviously, than it was in a neutral site venue. But, you know, really the impact is on the fans. And, you know, I mean, you can tell me you're right there. Like, I've been wondering how BYU fans are handling this. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people bought plane tickets and booked hotel rooms, and those things are often non-refundable. Obviously, this is a huge catastrophe that goes well beyond football, but, you know, it's just very unusual for, you know, we've seen games, especially LSU games, get relocated. Obviously, that happened last year, but very rare for this to happen with a neutral site game where it's almost like a bowl game got moved at the last minute where fans were already expecting to travel in. And now that they've up and moved it to a different city.
I feel bad for the fans that did that. Obviously, I feel horrific for the Houston folks in Houston, but the fans I feel bad for. But I guess my bigger point was you're playing at a dome. You're going to get on the road to play. There might be a couple of thousand more, maybe 10,000 more LSU fans, although I still believe they would have made that trek over I-10, and there would have been a lot of LSU fans in Houston too. It's only a 3 or 4 hour drive, but I don't know that changing that venue, even though it's a little closer to Baton Rouge, ultimately changes the outcome of that game. LSU's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think it changes the outcome of the game. I'm very curious to see what LSU looks like. They went through, obviously, a huge overhaul this past offseason. The LSU fans have been starving for an exciting offense for many, many years now, and obviously that's the reason Les Miles is no longer there. And so Matt Canada comes in, the OC from Pittsburgh, and promising all these unconventional formations and trick plays and whatnot. So, and they've also got a really, really good running back in Darius Geis. So, you know, like I said, we tend to overreact to week one. And BYU, like you said, there are a lot of reasons to be skeptical after that game. They could very well turn around and you know, take this top 15 LSU team to the mat, and suddenly everybody's jumping on their bandwagon. It's just so hard to tell with these early season games.
What's going to be different in the Eddie O era than we had with Les Miles there?
Well, you know, from a football standpoint, that offense will be the biggest thing. The defense stays the same with John Chavis. Les Miles was a very, very unique personality. And, you know, when they were winning, it was great. That kind of captivated everybody and helped, you know, make the grass eating and all that stuff a part of their brand. When they started to struggle, you know, I think that became an issue that really hovered over that program for a couple of years, where he's this really likable guy, but there was no question his offense had fallen behind the times and they weren't improving. You know, Coach O is meant to have that job. I mean, there's no question about it. He is Louisiana. But I also think that a lot of people there feel like they, you know, he was a backup plan. They wanted Jimbo Fisher. They wanted Tom Herman. This is who they ended up with. So, he needs to win this year. I'm not saying win the national championship, but he needs to win big because I feel like he's starting out in a little bit of a hole where if they go 7-5, people are going to say, see, you know, this wasn't the right guy for the job.
Stuart Mandel with us a moment or two more. He's editor-in-chief at the All-American. part of Athletic, theathletic.com. If you haven't given it a look, as he said, there's some articles there for you. You know a lot of the writers. You've probably read a lot of them over the years. It's a good site if you like content and long-form, good feature stuff. Was it you who did the piece on Jim Harbaugh and Saved by the Bell?
No, I wish I could take credit for that. But you're right. That's exactly the kind of stories we want to do. That was Chantel Jennings, who covered the Pac-12 for ESPN.com and is just a very unique voice in college football. And she got Screech. She got Mr. Belding. You know, I would highly encourage people to read that. That one is free for everybody to check out. It's still right there on the front of the site. You know, obviously there has been a lot written about Jim Harbaugh, but I've never seen anybody write about his bizarre 1996 cameo on Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, did she get Screech from jail, or has he been paroled?
He is not in jail any longer.
Good.
It was a, from what I understand, down to the wire. You know, I think she got him a day before it was due, kind of thing. She also got Jim Harbaugh, which is not the easiest thing to do these days. So he won't give out his roster, but he was willing to talk about his time on Saved by the Bell.
That is very Harbaughian of him. How surprised were you with the news we got here in Salt Lake City a week or so ago that Troy Taylor went with Tyler Huntley over Troy Williams?
Very surprised and very encouraged. You know, we talked about this last time I was on here about the broken record of, is this the year Utah's offense does something different? Well, if he was impressive enough throughout this offseason to beat out a two-time captain, granted a guy who had his ups and downs on the field and wasn't necessarily, you know, a surefire star quarterback by any means, but, you know, presumed to be the incumbent and the starter, that's a good sign. That's a good sign for Utah's offense. And I'm very excited to see it. You know, I think there's a lot of potential there for us to see some things from that offense and from the quarterback position that we haven't seen there in quite a while.
Give folks the number one reason why they should give The Athletic a look.
Well, the number one reason is, I think people listening, and I think most people do still, you know, truly value good sports reporting and sports writing. And unfortunately, the business model of giving the content away for free is not working anymore. And that's how a lot of high-profile writers have found themselves out of work. So if nothing else, we hope people will support it because it supports this larger cause. We want to reclaim the internet, as we've been saying. We don't want the internet to just be awash in clickbait and photo galleries and slideshows and autoplay videos. We think there's a, you know, it's important that good, strong written journalism returns to the forefront. So it's really a pretty reasonable price. It's $3.99 a month right now, $4.99 a month regularly. We're going to do our best to give you wall-to-wall coverage, unique access. We've got some exclusive access things in the works behind the scenes of college football. Just, you know, highly encourage you to give it a chance.
I will tell you this, Stuart. I am a subscriber, and I will continue to be. If you ever go to the slideshow model, you will lose me forever.
I mean, that's not happening. No,
okay,
slideshows,
good.
No listicles, no videos blaring at you, you know, when you log on to your computer and you have to turn down the volume, which is always so annoying. You know, in return for people paying that subscriber rate, that's the, you know, really cool reader experience. The other thing I would just quickly plug is the Athletic's app. You know, most people, or a lot of people at least, read the stories on their phone, and it is the best design news app I've seen. It is so easy to just scroll through there and catch up very quickly on all related stories.
Not to be, again, too much of a shill, but I am paying my own money. I did download the app this morning. I subscribed over the weekend, but there's nothing worse than when you're trying to read stuff from websites and everything. You got to go to mobile. This is actually perfectly formatted for your phone. I read a couple of articles this morning on my phone, so... He is absolutely
there,
right.
You go.
And at least in the 4 hours I've had the app, I've had no issues with it. So once you subscribe, you can get the app as well, and you know, it all should be good. Hey, congratulations on the site. It looks terrific. We'll talk to you again real soon, but thanks for jumping on, Stuart.
All right. Thanks so much, Bill.
Take care of yourself. Stuart Mandel with us here on the Bill Riley Show, editor-in-chief of the All-American at theathletic.com. That's the college football side of it, too.